let us each shine the light on today's world. Let's breathe and shine that light because we each are the light. How many of us lately have been holding our breath? What else? What more? Just breathe. Crisis brings out the best and the worst in us. When there is fear, we forget to breathe. And we gasp. And the gasp is always holding our breath. We hold our breath with uncertainty. When fear takes over, we look at who's wrong, who's to blame. We question, where's the answer? We are faith-based people. Our words, our thoughts are powerful. Hear that. Our words and our thoughts are powerful. And if we keep our attention on what's wrong, we find more to blame. Take a breath. Just breathe. See, I believe we're being asked to dig deep into our faith. And speak words that lift up. That know that no matter what is going on, there is change taking place. And raise and praise with your powerful words and prayers and your vision for a world that works for everyone. I talked about this last week. Because you see, great solutions are powerful. And complaints create more complaints, more to complain about. We can choose to grow when we're uncomfortable. We can choose to say, there's a greater truth, and I'm going to keep looking until I find it. And I'm going to picture it. I'm going to vision that truth for everyone. Scary places either bury us or lift us up. And when we raise up in powerful, loving words, and when we raise up in prayer, we can see clearly the solutions are on the way. The vision of a greater world is just around the corner. We, as a faith-based community, we have to believe that. We have to know that because we've been in predicaments before. This seems big. It is because we're being called to be big. We're being called to be more. What is happening today is crying out for uplifting words, crying out for uplifting thoughts. It begins within each and every one of us, within me first. Within you first. It's like giving birth. Last Monday with a real love group, I got that picture. What's going on? It's like giving birth. It's messy. It's painful. And when you're in the middle of the birth process, there is fear, there is pain, there is worry. I don't know about anybody else, but I thought, I will never do this again. Then I talked to other people. They said, it was the easiest thing I've ever done. Well, God bless you. You see, there's a lot that goes into creating new life. I have a midwife friend of mine, and she was working with one of her clients. And the client is in the middle of the birth process. And the woman who was in the birth process said, that's it. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do this. And she tried to get up off the table. And my friend said to her, sorry, you've got to complete this. How many of us look at today's news and we want to say, no, I'm not going to do this? Because if we say that, it's calling us to hold the vision. To see a greater truth, to see a world that works for everybody. I don't know how to do that, but I know how to see it. Excuse me. See, it's easy to live in faith when everything is going great, isn't it? What about the times that we are being challenged? Excuse me. Let me take a sip. How do we live in faith when we're being challenged? What about when times are challenging? Do you dig deeper? Will you trust that the birthing is happening? See, I believe it's up to each and every one of us to call upon the power of God greater when life turns upside down. I have no idea. I'm not the one to solve this, but I am the one to see a greater truth in this. What does that look like to you? Because I believe that the more people who see a world that is working for everybody, the more we vision it, the more we treat individuals as special. See, the potter takes a lump of clay. It's lifeless. It has no shape. And the potter throws that lump of clay on the potter's wheel. We're the clay. We're the clay going round and round on that potter's wheel. We have no idea what we're going to become. So just breathe. I like that this talk is entitled, Just Breathe. Because when I get scared, I hold my breath. We're on the potter's wheel. And today, let's imagine that God is the potter, that God is working with each and every one of us to become something unique and beautiful, something more than we ever thought we could be. Our life is in the hands of the potter. Imagine, just imagine a beautiful vase or a ceramic vase or a dish or, I love ceramics. I love how beautiful they turn out. In school, I only made ashtrays. But I love somebody who really knows how to do this. The clay is shaped so beautifully. We have no idea what it is to become. We have no idea what we are to become. But we stop spinning. And when we stop spinning, we turn into something, into a perfect expression that the clay has been worked into, the expression of beauty. We have no idea that just around the corner, we will be thrown into a red hot fire to bake. That's what they do with ceramics. I don't know where you are in life. Are you still dizzy going around on the potter's wheel? Are you feeling complete? Are you heading for the fire? Or maybe today you feel like you're in the fire. Just breathe. Stop in this moment. And stay in faith, even when life isn't as you wish it to be. I know we all wish it to be different. So if we wish it to be different, let's wish it to be better, to be greater. Stay in faith when you're dizzy and you can't think. And breathe. Giving birth is challenging and it is painful. In all this confusion, doubts and fears. See yourself greater in this light of truth. I think that's what we're being called to do. And remember to raise and praise before you see and before you see the final product. Imagine it to be better than you ever thought possible. Imagine communities and people and coming together in love and in caring. New life, new beginnings are just around the corner. I think we're each being asked to vision that, to visualize it, to see it. And Reverend Suzanne this week, because all the practitioners and the ministers are doing prayer, and Reverend Suzanne found in Living Science of Mind great piece written by Ernest Holmes, our founder, and it's called The Congestion of Fear. And she did a prayer for it, I think it was on Tuesday. Anyway, it was really good. I said, where did you find that? She said, in the book. By the way, for those of you who are here today, you get a present if you so desire. I bought some used books of this thing called You. This time that's taking place in our world, we need to read our books like this. This one, I love, Living Science Mind. You can tell I love it. I forget I have it. You have these books. If you don't have this thing called You, please come up and get one. They're free. You can leave a donation or not. It will go to the church. I love that book because it would change all the yous to I. So I'm going to read you some of the parts of The Fear of Congestion that Ernest Holmes wrote years ago. And he starts out with a little story, and he said John was humming an uplifting tune, and he was filled with joy and happy, and he seemed to be absolutely elude. Great confidence in himself. He was happy and the world around him as he boarded the bus. And he sat down next to a man who was filled with fear and apprehension. By the time John got off the bus, he was gripped in anxiety and incredible fear. It's impossible for us to catch fear. It's possible for us to catch fear from others, much as we would catch a cold. For we are all conscious, mental, emotional, and spiritual broadcasting stations. Hear that. We can catch fear from other people if we're not careful and we don't keep vigilance on that. Is this fear mine? Or is it someone that I've come into contact with today? This takes us back to a thought in the Bible which says that a man's enemies shall be those of his own household. For our real enemies are our fears and phobias, our doubts and uncertainties, our anxieties and our inner conflicts. Take a breath. Just breathe. The healing of fear and anxiety is not to be found in any drug or physical manipulation. The cure is to be found only within our own minds. Let's say that again. The cure is to be found only within our own minds. What fear is, where fear is the disease, we become our own doctors. Breathe, everybody breathe. Because, you see, he goes on to say, there is nothing for God to be afraid of. I like that sentence. There is nothing for God to be afraid of. And if we can and do tune into the thoughts of others, and if they affect us, as they most certainly do, why should we not learn to tune into the mind of God, which is free from fear? And free from doubt. The quickest and most effective method to get rid of fear is to just quiet, lift up the whole thought and confidence and faith, something bigger than we are. One of the things I love to do is I listen to uplifting music. And one of my favorites is Michael W. Smith. And I turn it up loud in my earbuds and I let him sing to me that the light and the love of God and open the eyes of my heart and let it rain from the love of heaven. So this morning, instead of closing in prayer, I'm going to read to you the end of this piece that of The Contagion of Fear, which is a prayer. So I'm going to invite you to just close your eyes and take a breath. And open your heart and listen. I lay all fear aside, and in confidence and complete faith, I turn to the one perfect divine presence. knowing that the light of truth shines upon my path, even as divine love guides me into the secret place of the Most High, where I dwell under the love of the Almighty. I know that there is nothing to be afraid of in God's world. Fear cannot operate in me, nor can it go forth from me. At the very center of my being, there is complete confidence, complete faith. At the very center of my being, there is a consciousness of protection. And this consciousness of protection is divine love, the guidance of divine wisdom, and the strength of divine power lives within me, within you. And so I turn in thought to the whole world and know that my word is bringing light and life and a feeling of strength and confidence to everyone. I turn in thoughts to the leaders of the world everywhere and know that love and intelligent guidance is directing their thoughts and actions. I turn in thought to all nations of the earth and awaken in them the realization that there is good enough to go around, that there is a divine government under which we all may be protected from fear of each other. I turn in thought to the great creative imagination of the human race and assume that there is a feeling and a present at the center of everything, waiting to make itself known to us, in us, and as us. And I turn to the great God who knows all things and who can do all things and say, lead kindly, kindly light amid the encircling gloom. Lead me on into the solution. Lead me on into love. And that infinite, all-loving presence says in return to each and every one of us, you are the beloved in whom I am well pleased. Stay in love. Live in love. It is powerful. Love will take you beyond conditions. Will take you beyond fear. Just breathe and hold the vision of truth. So I know and accept in this moment that this word spoken and greater than what I can speak in words is already taking place in the mind and the heart of God in us, through us, and for us. And so I just release my powerful word into the ever-living, loving law of God, knowing that it is already complete, it is wholly perfect, and it returns to each and every one of us filled up and overflowing. We are full of love. We are full of the vision. We are full of God. And if you are, join me in saying, and so it is. Amen. Amen.